Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome into the second half. The disco ball still spinning. Mike Harmon alongside Dan Beyer. It is a red carpet night. Why? The NBA draft is underway. Oh, that, and it's that little thing called Smith's 50th birthday. We'll see if we can get a drunk Jason Smith on the show a little later. No, we're not. We're going to let him. I don't know. He might curse about the Knicks. Maybe we get calls in for the celebration of Robinson Cano and that $24 million. I'll say freed up.
The only fans that should be cursing tonight are Golden State Warrior fans on the possible news of Klay Thompson, because otherwise the draft and the particulars, complete crapshoot. And it's not just because it's like an NFL draft when we're saying, we'll wait 5 years from now and then we'll judge the draft. It's really like this draft was, yeah, there were guys at the top, but you weren't necessarily sold on all of them. So the Warrior fans, because of the Klay injury, the only reason why, they're the only fans that would have reason to complain tonight.
No, for this NBA day, right, it's the middle of November. Normally we're 3 weeks into the regular season, actually a month. With the change of the calendar last year, right? Because it happened right about the middle of October. We got started instead of your traditional, hey, I'm trick-or-treating with the kids and watching an NBA game through somebody's window while waiting for them to get a piece of candy. Hey, what's this door? Your TV's not big enough. You're going to leave the windows and the drapes open. You got to at least have a TV big enough that I can see what the score is at the bottom of the screen. But we would normally be knee-deep in week three and wondering about rotations and all of those things, Dan. And now we're a month away from rebooting the season and getting everybody back together. All these trade rumors, malcontentedness, all of this floating in the backdrop as we get into this draft. And to your point, you have several players whose names we knew, right? If you're not a huge fan of an individual conference, if you're just an NBA fan waiting for your next holiday gift, as it were, in the form of a lottery pick, maybe, to try to change your team's fortune. There were a few names that you'd heard enough and had seen little glimpses of. Not always for the right reason, right? LaMelo Ball, we watched him from, what was he, 12? When we started really paying attention to the Ball family. It's that long ago. And then we've watched the journey, and now number three pick here to Charlotte. Number two, James Wiseman. A lot of roads taking him to Memphis for a cup of coffee before being ruled ineligible. So he goes number two to Golden State. And at number two, I think that was where a lot of the drama came in for this draft. Not only build up before today, but certainly once the news of Klay Thompson being injured. And now we hear more and more reports, and we talked about Chris Haynes' report a little bit earlier, that they're fearing it's an Achilles, something you mentioned in your super sleuthing as a newsman, which we have to remind folks, Dan heads up the news here and is a brilliant addition when we have a chance to have him in with us here out, in the Jason Smith Show with me, Mike Harmon. But what were they going to do at number two? Right? As that injury news broke out, it's like, does that change their plans? Do they suddenly trade out of that pick? And at least for the moment, they bring in James Wiseman. Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. We've joked all the ER and Top Gun goose too soon. Pet Sematary 2, I threw in for fun and Revenge of the Nerds, but get out of Georgia, score, still working on his outside shot. We'll see if that rounds off. But that's it. And Obi Toppin from Dayton. Those are your four names that really broke through in terms of guys you were kind of curious to see where they ended up. The rest of it was on trade talk and speculation. And then the Klay Thompson news just shut down the world, at least for a moment, from the basketball side. Because I don't know that there's a star in the league that hasn't posted to Twitter or Instagram or been quoted by somebody reaching out, hoping Klay Thompson would have been able to recover from last year's knee injury.
I think the Klay Thompson news is 100 times bigger than anything that happened in the NBA draft tonight. I mean, it's – listen, think about this. We were looking at Bogdan Bogdanović as a piece to maybe put Milwaukee over the top, or not enough to put them over the top in the East. Like that was the conversation over the last couple of days, were the moves to get Bogdanović and Drew Holiday to Milwaukee enough to put the Bucks over the top. And I look at that, Mike, and it just tells me how far away we are from any of these. Like that, those are the moves that we are looking at. Like now we look at Chris Paul going to Phoenix to being like, okay, now how high can Phoenix move up in the draft or in the season from the great effort that they had in the bubble, and where can they go? In no way, I mean, except in Golden State's situation because of the injuries and who they had come back, but none of these teams that are picking early are even remotely close from challenging any of these teams. And I just don't, there's not a Memphis in this group where you all of a sudden have this amazing turnaround and you're fueled by someone like Ja Morant and the pieces around him. You also have to, realize that in a situation like that, where Ja was one of the top prospects and would have been the number one pick if he was in this draft, where you also had a Jaren Jackson who was in Memphis, that was really, really developing into a really, really good player, maybe a great player. So, like, there were pieces. The point being is, does Anthony Edwards make Minnesota now a team in the top eight in the West? I don't know, but maybe they're a little bit closer considering some of, like, the teams that are dropping down, but there's still such a huge gap. Sure. So it's still all about the teams that are trying to jockey for a position that were in the playoffs, and that's why I just don't think that the teams that we cared about tonight because they were picking early are so far away from doing any damage in the NBA that I think it's difficult to be involved and invested in as just an overall NBA fan.
Yeah, I think it's in your squad, right? You need building blocks. You need to find at least that centerpiece. And hopefully for those teams at the top of the draft, they found their guy. And there's the marketability. Certainly for Charlotte, getting the Ball family alongside the Jordan brand, it's good for business. They've got a couple of great pieces, and you've got to figure out Graham and Ball and how that works. You've got a couple of nice young players, but does it translate into a ton of wins? No. Minnesota won 19 games last year, right? Anthony Edwards is not suddenly making them a 40-win team, which we know prior to last year, which got a little odd, right, that you'd always had to be right at, 39, 40 wins to get in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
This year, that bar went down a little bit. Portland gets in. We had the play-in. Phoenix goes 8-0, as you referenced before. But you're trying to figure out how many teams can you jump in the process. So the draft is fun for individuals. It's fun for marketing. It's fun for trading cards. It's fun for all of those opportunities. And for local television, you've got someone to push and try to get people at least a little bit excited until you hit the second half of the season. Now, you got to be in that top 10, Dan. Because through 10, yeah, you at least get to play on a little bit longer. But you look at the West, and we've been talking a lot about the Lakers and Clippers leading up into this. How much are their teams going to shift? How much of the opt-outs are for show? Anthony Davis now going to have a tequila company with LeBron James. I think it's called Lobos. Everybody's got a tequila. I think we need to launch a tequila, Dan. But The Rock's got a tequila. At least Ryan Reynolds went and had gin.
Tequila from the guy who doesn't drink. That's what.
Well, that's good. What mine would be. It's so good. I thought about it, Dan Beyer, George Clooney, and his Casamigos. I mean, he got part of $1 billion out of that. But the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, fine. Those four stay. Utah. Assume they're still in the push. Dallas making some moves. Porzingis and Luka, assuming Porzingis can stay healthy. OKC and Houston.
You've got you've got those two teams that didn't that were in the playoffs that you would say not going to be in the playoffs the next year.
Right, probably fighting for one of those and one kind of situations.
Yeah,
but you got Memphis. You got
I don't even think that. I mean, if what happens in Houston, if what's going to happen in Houston, what we believe is going to happen in Houston, depending on who can move out where and move in, I don't know. Oklahoma City, I don't see either. I just don't necessarily see it. But I'll give you that they you know. Whatever happens with Al Horford and Shea Gilgeous Alexander is a nice piece to move on. Sure, but yeah, they're not gonna be in the eight. I'll give you that maybe they fight for the 10. But look who was all fighting for the 10.
Right. No, but that's just it. You've got a cluster there, right? Expect a rebound from San Antonio. New Orleans showed heart at times, and if Zion's healthy, are they suddenly at least a threat to compete? So, and we already mentioned Phoenix, that you expect them to at least be better coming out of the bubble and what we've seen in the offseason.
The Clay injury just is such a shock to Golden State. But, you know, I think Minnesota fans know that, you know, I think that there's hope, but I don't think that there's a lot of realistic hope on how high that team can end up going. When you see how far the Cavaliers are away in the East, I mean, the East is another example, like even of is it worth for Cleveland, considering how bad it is, you know, are these pieces moving up? It's just tough for me to get excited about the bottom half of the NBA.
No, sure.
And, you know, and it's so much more Absolutely. Of the top half. And that was the point about Bogdan Bogdanovic, was we were making a big deal about Bogdan Bogdanovic. Not because he's Bogdan Bogdanovic, but because he was going to a team that was contending for an NBA title. So that became like a really, really big deal, and that's where we are all focusing on. Like I would argue, Mike, that the Bogdanovic deal to Milwaukee was a bigger deal than Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns, for the simple fact of the hierarchy, which is absurd to think that Bogdan Bogdanovic would be more important piece than Chris Paul. But as for how we look at the NBA, it's who can take down LeBron and the Lakers and who can maybe knock them off their perch. Can Milwaukee make it out of the East after their failures? And what is Giannis's future? We only care about the top half of the NBA. And that's what makes tonight, which is about the bottom half, so difficult to be interested in.
Why, it's not about the teams. It's about the individuals, just as we talked about a little bit earlier, Dan, of trying to build brands for those individuals and maybe building blocks for the future. Maybe you can get out of your own way, because that's always the question with different ownership groups and front offices and those marriages. Can you push forward and actually become a contender? And for the Bucks, you know, as you did your analysis, you're very open that, you know, that's your squad. There's the line about Giannis that is the key component of the discussion, right? It's about getting over and maybe winning a title this year, but it's also that long term of, are these moves enough to keep him around? And that's certainly something we're watching as we flow forward. We'll continue talking about the draft. We got Aaron Torres coming up about 15 minutes from now. But coming up next, Kyler Murray. He didn't want to play basketball, but he is talking about his old sport. And
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio. Mike Harmon alongside Dan Beyer. He's in for Jason Smith. It's the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here from the Geico Studios, having fun with our crew assembled, making it sound oh so pretty. And we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time on this draft night. And Dan, as we get ready for week 11 of the National Football League, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll give some folks some fantasy tips going into the week. But the game that's going to kick it all off, well, has legs from last week as we watched the Hail Murray, as it was deemed all across the land. Kyler Murray throwing across his body some 60 yards to DeAndre Hopkins, going up and over three guys. Well, now he's going to set aim at the Seattle Seahawks secondary. And on Tiki and Tierney, talked about his love of playing multiple sports. I played football, baseball, basketball growing up my whole life. I missed basketball. I didn't get to play as much as I may have wanted to. But I miss baseball for sure. Just being in the box, being out there with the guys competing. I know where I'm supposed to be at. If I had chosen baseball, I'd be missing football a lot more. For me, I wish I could do both. I definitely feel like I could. I never say never, but as of right now, I'm having fun doing what I love. I think the days of Brian Jordan, Bo Jackson, and such have gone with the way the quarterback position works in the NFL. But and look, I remember when folks were debating, should he have taken the money to go play for the Oakland A's? And like, no, that's a nice pipe dream in terms of making that decision-making process. And yes, baseball, with a long career and great success, you can make a ton of money. But as we've seen, at the quarterback position, you can escalate your cash base pretty fast. And Kyler Murray is certainly on the track to do so.
Well, in fairness, when that conversation was happening, we weren't looking at Kyler Murray as the first overall pick of the NFL draft. Like there was the conversation of his, you know, of him entering the NFL draft and choosing football over baseball, you know, ended up picking up during his great season in Oklahoma. But even during that season, Mike, there were second round projections on him. So you're like, well, then go to base. I mean, if you're going to be a second round pick, I think it changed when all of a sudden now you're saying, okay, first round pick. And then it ends up being first overall pick, which completely changed the game. But I would also say to this, I don't think that option of playing both sports was ever available for an NFL quarterback. Like you can't do what Bo Jackson did and join a team later in the season, or do what Deion did and end up flying between games and playing in a football game and then playing in a baseball game. You can't do that when you're a quarterback of a National Football League team. There's just no way. You can do it for a corner. What's a corner, you know, especially if someone of Deion's, you know, caliber.
No, certainly the talent.
Yeah.
But it becomes the, could you do both eventually, as if you hit the mountaintop in football. I don't know that you could ever try to do the duel in a same season, right? Other than, hey, I'm showing up like Russell Wilson used to Rangers camp and such.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and just show up for a minute. This is more a
PR,
all right,
thing.
I get to 28 years old or something, and I decide, all right, I've done all I can in football, and I've had my fun, but I want to scratch the itch. Not quite the Tim Tebow where I'm just trying to be a professional athlete somewhere, because football washed out, and now you're on to baseball thinking, well, maybe I can find my fortunes because I was once good at this. I just think it's a fun story to talk about in week 11, particularly where Kyler Murray is in all the discussions right now, right? As you mentioned, there were the questions of how high would he be picked? Well, obviously, he starts going on a tear and the projections change. And as a baseball prospect, what was he, drafted eighth overall, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, you're talking about fast track. Not that the A's are going to pay you a ton of money. But if you flash and get a call-up, then maybe you can go and find your fortune elsewhere.
Well, you know, and if you're an NFL quarterback, though, if you're 28 years old, NFL quarterback is the only position in that league that will pay you more as you get older.
Yes. I mean, no, absolutely.
You know, when you're a running back, you're over the hill at 28, 29, 30. Like, so it's over with. So in Kyler's case, even if he had the itch, I actually take Kyler's comments and almost compare him a little bit to Anthony Edwards, the first overall pick on Wednesday night, of him talking about his love of football. And if he was drafted by an NFL team, sometimes when you're away from a sport and you're not in it, your love of it, you know, obviously, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think that, you know, that could be the case where you just don't have that sort of enjoyment, or you miss that sort of enjoyment. So you miss it a little bit more, maybe you romanticize it, but I'm sure Kyler Murray would love to, you know, give it a shot, but there is no way, no how that would ever happen. And it wouldn't even make sense. And yeah, the Tebow thing, I have no problem with an athlete trying to maximize their athletic years, because once it's gone, it is over. There is no going back. But yeah, for Kyler Murray, I get that he loves baseball, but yeah, there's no way that could ever ever happen.
By the way, you owe Rob Parker $7 for saying no way, no how.
No way, no how.
But just the,
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I'm cognizant of those because I'm getting ready to start enforcing a bunch of my stuff that shows up elsewhere. And unless you aggressively enforce it, you can't do it anymore.
I love Rob Parker, but I don't think he's got the patent on no way, no how.
I don't know this. I'm just saying, for giggles on it with, bunch of athletes trying to trademark anything that rhymes with their name.
I'm sure someone said Bam before Emerald did, but I'm not...
he's trying to sell me a Fry Daddy or whatever in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. Here, look how perfectly crisp and juicy this comes out. I don't know. It's a weird, strange world that we're living in. Just for Kyler Murray, though, now in MVP consideration and a lot of debate over the last couple of days, Dan, I'm sure you and Doug and your team, Ryan and John, all talked about it as well, the throw versus the catch and degrees of difficulty or whatever. I just kept raising my hand. It didn't win a game, but the Josh Allen throw was better, and I'll die on that hill.
Well, I'll say this too. I actually did mention this a couple of weeks back on Doug's show. Is this is what's going to happen with I predicted it to a T. Is there's going to be a spot where Kyler Murray makes a play. And all of a sudden, he's going to reemerge into the MVP candidate conversation because that's how these things go. And I go back to years ago, 7-8 years ago, when Kawhi Leonard had what, like a 63 point night in March. And he was on no one's radar for MVP. And he then immediately shot up to 1, 2, or 3 on so many people's ballots because now you look back and you check off the boxes, and that's what happens with Kyler Murray. This is what's happened. The Cardinals, okay, they improved. Check. The Cardinals are tied for first place in the NFC West and would be in the playoffs, and they'd actually have the tiebreaker right now. Check. So that's good. Kyler Murray making a game-changing, game-altering, end-of-game spectacular play. Check. And he's putting up great numbers, throwing the ball and running the ball. Check. Like those, all those things ended up of happening. And by the way, Russell Wilson's throwing bad interceptions over the last 3 weeks. So drop him down. Like this, you could see something like this happen from a mile away because he fits all of the categories that you end up trying to look at. And it's actually probably why we overlook Patrick Mahomes so much is because we're looking at the guy who comes out of nowhere, the guy who's leading.
It's
got to
be the new story.
Playoffs.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's so fit to the T, and it's why we forget about guys like Patrick Mahomes, or maybe why we're not as in love with Aaron Rodgers, or as we once were, because they've already checked those boxes previously. But that's what you have with Kyler Murray right now. Listen, I think he's got the opportunity to be the MVP. I had three candidates that I thought were going to win MVP, and the one I went with was Deshaun Watson. But Kyler was one of them because of all the boxes we like to check off and the improvement. So I'm not surprised to see this. In fact, I'm not surprised to see it at the time that we have it here. But now they're 6-3. There's still 7 more games left. If you do something tomorrow night against Seattle, you do something on Thursday night and have something against them for the second time this season for a division rival, can go a long way, but I'm still pumping the brakes just a little bit because to me it's too cookie cutter of an option right now.
Yeah, still 7 more weeks of play, which means we'll do the MVP shuffle another 7 times. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't put up numbers tomorrow, then he shouldn't be anywhere near a ballot against that Seattle defense. He's Dan Beyer. I'm Mike Harmon. Coming up next, Aaron Torres, our teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, checks in to talk about the draft. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Going out to the hotline now, teammate of ours here at Fox Sports Radio, joining The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith. Our buddy Aaron Torres, he's all over it. The college basketball, college football landscape. You hear him every weekend here at Fox Sports Radio alongside the stinking genius Arnie Spanier. Aaron, a little quieter. No Arnie in your ear, but satisfied, happy with what you saw tonight?
So two things, Mike and Dan and obviously Brian Finley as well. How could I forget Brian? So two things, Mike. One, you know, Jason claims it's his birthday. He must have had some intel that the Knicks were going to steal draft night with the best pick of the draft in Obi Toppin. He's out popping. I don't even know if he drinks champagne, but he's having some now. But
he's just eating pints of ice cream.
Well, however Jason celebrates, that's fine. But, Mike, I'm not going to lie. 2 years ago, two drafts ago, I remember coming on with you and Jason because Jason had dubbed me the LeVar Ball Whisperer.
That's right.
I'm the only person that knew LeVar Ball before all this chaos started. The whole story has come full circle. And you know, like, Jason's gone. I'm so bummed. I thought we could just put a little bow on that one. That was like our thing from 2 years ago when Lonzo got drafted.
No, it is a beautiful thing. And he's been out of sight, out of mind, quiet. And in this draft cycle, now he's going to go try to fight Michael Jordan. So that'll be fun. But well, two kids that finish in the top three, that's a pretty big deal.
We saw the MJ documentary where, you know, George Karl does this and, you know, it's a slight and I took offense to that and then I took it personal. I just think this draft pick was about, you know, 2 years ago, LeVar claimed that he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. I think they just drafted LaMelo so Michael could play LeVar one-on-one and see who wins once and for all. That's my hunch on that one. That's my bold take.
who's the player that's going to have the Jordan chip on their shoulder from falling? Is it Toppin? Is it Tyrese Halliburton? Who's going to have that Jordan-sized chip on their shoulder because of tonight's results?
You know, I think the obvious answer, Dan, is Obi Toppin. And listen, you know, I truly believe if there had been an NCAA tournament, I believe that he would have been, if not the consensus number one, much more in the conversation. And I just go back to a year and change ago with John Morant. I mean, I remember going on with the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, before the tournament, them asking me about this John Morant kid that they had been hearing about. And I said, he's the second best player in this tournament. And I remember Chris vividly, you know, really, he's better than RJ Barrett. He's better than Cam Reddish. I said, yes, just watch. And sure enough, one game into the tournament, John Morant has a triple-double, and nobody's questioning drafting John Morant over RJ Barrett. And so you talk about Obi Toppin, who I do think has a chip on his shoulder. This was a kid 6'2" as a junior in high school, zero scholarship offers coming out of high school, had to go to prep school for a year, ends up at Dayton redshirts. This kid dealt with real, real adversity. And so to fall in the draft after being National Player of the Year, but then also kind of, to use the word full circle I just used, going back to his hometown Knicks, where I think there's going to be real pride putting on, you know, that orange and blue for the Knicks. And so I do think he's the guy that won. I already liked him coming in, but the fact that he fell, the fact that he can use that chip on his shoulder, I think it's a great night to be a Knicks fan. I really do.
How about that? Pride in wearing a Knicks uniform. Aaron Torres, our guest here at Fox Sports Radio, the Aaron Torres podcast. You can get that on Apple Podcasts. He's got his draft review up. And Aaron, as the draft got underway and we were following the news of the day, the draft got overshadowed by the injury to Klay Thompson. Yeah. Were you surprised they didn't trade out of number two? I mean, I've been banging the drum for weeks that I'd love to see James Harden hanging out with Steph Curry anyway. But are you surprised that Wiseman still went there?
Well, I'll tell you this, Mike. It was a thought that I had just from the perspective of, you know, I know you guys were in studio, so you might not have had a chance to watch it, but the guys on the broadcast, they kept kind of hammering this thought home of, you know, don't let the Klay Thompson injury, potential injury, we still don't know what it is, I don't believe, don't let that impact what you do. Stick to the plan that you had. And I actually completely disagree with that. I think the Warriors targeted James Wiseman because he fit a position of need for a team that was ready to return next year to championship status. And he could be a role player, a fifth player, all that kind of stuff. And now that whole narrative might change with Klay Thompson out for an extended period of time. So does that mean taking LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Halliburton, Obi Toppin? I don't know. Maybe they believe that James Wiseman can be a contributor right away. But, Mike, I think it's a great point by you. That was really a thought of mine was, listen, if you think this is serious with Klay Thompson, you know, Steph Curry and Draymond Green might not have very many years left to wait around for Klay Thompson to get back to 100% if he ever does. This window is right now, this second, and I was surprised that they maybe didn't either try to take a more ready player, a player that kind of fills the void that Klay Thompson might miss, or to your point, might trade out of that selection.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my question. Who would you take? Because that's where I thought they were caught between, I don't want to say caught between. I disagree. Like, I think they take Wiseman and you move on just because, I mean, you just can't find a Klay Thompson anywhere. Like, that would be my whole argument of just, I know there's a bunch of guys in the draft, but if you don't have Klay Thompson, you're not going to be winning the West anyway. So what does it matter if you take one of these other guys? I actually disagree with that point. I don't think that there's anybody in that draft that they could do it. I would think Wiseman would actually, who knows, maybe have more value if he was to be dealt. But, I mean, we're going to have better drafts in the next couple of years. I know that the Warriors aren't going to be picking, but I don't know who they would have taken if they could have.
And that last point is the important point, Dan. I apologize about that.
That's all right.
One, I agree.
Worse.
No. Okay. First of all, there is no Klay. Clearly, Klay Thompson's a multi-time All-Star, 60-point games, all that stuff. That wasn't what I was arguing. What I was arguing a little bit was this, is that last year when Kevin Durant leaves and Klay Thompson blows out his knee in game 5 or 6 of the finals or whatever it is, you know that 2019-2020 is a transition year. And, like, I remember having the conversations maybe with you guys on air at some point of, like, do you kind of shut down Steph Curry for the season and just focus on getting ready for 21-22 mm-hmm. or 2020? And so the only point I was trying to make, and maybe they feel like James Wiseman is the most NBA-ready player, but, you can't sit around waiting another – the window of just waiting around till you get healthy doesn't go on in perpetuity. It worked for 2019-2020. You get sure. the pick that you want. But my only point was, if you think there's somebody more NBA-ready, and maybe they think Wiseman is that guy. That was the only point I was trying to make, Dan, but I agree. There's nobody in the same stratosphere as Klay Thompson. As much as I love college basketball, I would never, never try to claim that.
Aaron will have his full wrap-up on Apple Podcasts. You can find it, the Aaron Torres Podcast. Listen to him this weekend as he debates and shouts down Arnie Spanier with some of his cockamamie theories on the sporting world. @Aaron_Torres is where you find him on Twitter. Thanks for coming on, buddy, and staying up with us.
Just one correction. It's not a debate when one person is always right and Arnie's always wrong. Not naming names. I don't know who's right and who's wrong.
But I put my college fund on it, Torres. Anyway.
Anyway, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. Talk to you soon. That's Aaron Torres. You'll hear him this weekend on Fox Sports Radio. Again, download the podcast. Dan Byer in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. Coming up next, Week 11 Fantasy Football Talk. It's winning time, and we help you through it next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Dan Byer in for Jason Smith tonight. Smith off celebrating. Maybe recovering from celebrating his 50th birthday. At How About a Fresca if you want to yell at him. At Dan Byer on Fox, you want to get a hold of Dan or find me over at Swollen Dome. Dan, you and I, the I Want Your Flex podcast, will record the next round for Week 11 in full tomorrow night. Available Friday morning on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your sound. Currently, we've got our preview of tomorrow's game up, Arizona-Seattle. We talked about it a little bit earlier with the Kyler Murray discussion and some of the recent struggles of Russell Wilson. But as we look at this week's slate, a couple of dandies on there, a couple of nerve-wracking kind of games for your usual fantasy studs. But the key is it features the return of Jameis Winston. And that's really, I think, just for giggles. I was set in my fantasy leagues at the quarterback position, so I didn't need to go in on the waiver wire frenzy, but that was a guy that it was a feast, I think, for many as they pushed way well past the Swiss Army knife that is Taysom Hill.
As should be, because they're just, especially if you're in a two-quarterback league, the only issue that I have with Jameis Winston or his move to the starting position, and we touched a little bit on this in our last podcast, was I think it's fine for Alvin Kamara. I think it's fine for Emmanuel Sanders and everybody else. I just don't know if it's fine for Michael Thomas. And I think that's a legitimate question. 7 targets, just 2 receptions in their win last week. So, and Jameis plays in the second half of that game. That's my just biggest question. But I think that everybody else gets a bit of a boost. And if you're a guy that can go downfield, then that's even more of a boost for you, because now you have a guy with a stronger arm than Drew Brees. So I have questions. And I also don't think that if Michael Thomas is seeing double teams, that he's going to be throwing the ball, or that Jameis Winston is going to be throwing the ball to him, because the most important thing for Jameis to not do, especially if he wants to continue with his career, is don't throw interceptions.
All about the audition, right? Yep. And the master class, as he called it, going to work with Breeze and Sean Payton, certainly being among it. You look at Michael Thomas the last couple of weeks, the results aren't there since his return from injury / suspension. I just know he needs to stay away from Gardner Johnson this week, because that could just get ugly and go sideways. Hey, the numbers aren't there, big boy. What are you doing? That's all you need as you flow. One guy that I think is curious, we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show as well, is you got a matchup for Carson Wentz with his regulars are back, and against Cleveland, on paper, not a terrible matchup against that secondary, but I don't know that their offensive line can hold up well enough against Myles Garrett and company to make him a play.
Fair enough, and but the Eagles do only run 7-yard routes, it seems. So there's
well, return of Zach Ertz will help that. 7.5 targets per game before he got hurt.
Yeah, it's one of those games as well that you never know how weather. It's not going to be like it was last week in Cleveland, but the over under not necessarily as high. You want to know where my cautionary tale is this week? It's in the Green Bay backfield, because the Packers end up going up against the Colts, and the Colts just don't like to give up yards, and especially on the ground. So in that matchup, I'm sitting there saying to myself, yeah, I know, Aaron Jones was out a while for Green Bay, but now that he comes back in the last couple of games, hasn't been in the end zone, you're seeing a little bit more of Jamal Williams getting the share of that, and now you go up against an Indianapolis defense. I'm not necessarily high on either Green Bay running back in Week 11.
I would concur. The other one we're watching is a story that kind of popped on the radar. And again, with the draft, the Klay Thompson injury, and Drew Brees getting the second opinion saying, yeah, you're done for a while. We had that news earlier today. Was a quote from Ryan Tannehill being asked about the offense in Tennessee, where they're at right now. And it's Tennessee at Baltimore. So is it a great matchup? Not so much. But also just that the usage rate is dipping as the season goes along by design, expecting to make a playoff run and needing him at 100%. Just the question is, do they have enough to hold on to stay in those top seven?
Yeah, with the Raiders knocking on the door. By the way, the Raiders could get a 70 burger on him if they end up playing that game this week, because of the whole victory lap thing. But yeah, it's, Dolphins coming on, Browns, as you mentioned. Yeah, it could be scary times for Tennessee.
Oh, that victory lap thing just got legs for days, right? Between Andy Reid and now John Gruden came back over the top. And
Andy Reid after a bye. Never bet against it.
Never want to go that way. He's Dan Byer in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. We go back into the draft. Why didn't it work?